Bujun in dinoe makani dug. Beshiko benesia que indigo, mang in du dame. Da osis qua jimmy cog in dunjaba, gamis qua wako cog ninda. Elaine Fleming nindishin a cause. Hello, my relatives. I welcome you again to the History of Leech Lake. And my spirit name is One Thunderbird Woman, and that's the name that the universe knows me by. So what my elder taught me, Mezenana Quadishinakaso. And I am an enrolled member of Leech Lake Nation. I also live in Gamasqua Wako Cog, the place where there were red cedar. And they call it Cass Lake, Minnesota on the maps today. I live on the beautiful east end of Cass Lake. I've been talking about historical trauma, and I teach at Leech Lake Tribal College. And when I teach, I frame my history course and the introduction to Anishinaabe studies in historical trauma. And historical trauma has to do with the acts committed against an entire people, like the people of Leech Lake Nation. And it includes three historical losses: the loss of people, loss of land, and loss of culture. These historical losses result in historical loss symptoms like depression, anger, suicide, unemployment, and even diabetes. We carry this trauma in our bodies, and it affects our wellness. So I'm going to continue sharing an article that I wrote and was published in Tribal College Journal. But first I wanted to share a little information with you from Stone Child College. They also teach historical trauma in a section that they call The Fire That Is Beginning to Stand. And VP Ellery wrote, "History at its best helps the present make sense of the past. History at its best tells a nation's story through the voices of all the people. These voices enlighten and provide wise counsel for the present, creating healthy and creative communities. History at its worst not only ignores the different voices, but eliminates them altogether. The resulting silence lives on and is seen and heard in the painful, dehumanizing community stories etched out regularly on American Indian reservations today. Yes, history at its worst is a narrative lived and experienced currently by the indigenous peoples in the U.S. This aftermath of the near extinction of the original peoples is still felt today, and its adverse effects are carried down from generation to generation. This phenomenon is known as historical trauma. In order to combat its adverse effects, it is critical to create new stories that are alive with the hope and determination reflective of a rich past that is not entirely lost." And so I want to begin with talking about the loss of land again for us here on Leech Lake. And then I want to move into the self-determination era, which began around the 1970s, to talk about these new stories that we have been creating and how we are saving ourselves. So I wrote, "So Indigo colonization continued to eat up our people and land. In 1906, the first experimental U.S. forest was established. Today, 75% of the land within the Leech Lake Reservation is this Chippewa National Forest. Because of the huge stands of white pines on our reservation, the logging industry deforested our lands and caused environmental problems such as runoff, loss of blueberries, and even contributed to the decline of making cradle boards for our babies, according to historian Brenda Child. In order to gather blueberries today, another one of our sacred foods, we must travel to other counties where the jack pines remain intact. The U.S. Forestry came up with the idea of harvesting trees and then replanting the stands with trees such as the red pine that grows particularly fast and are a profitable crop. The Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe reports that of its original 864,158 acres, near 300,000 acres are surface areas of the three largest lakes. Part of this is due to the dams constructed in the late 1800s. Less than 5% of land is currently held in trust by the band. That Ojibwe man who slew the Wendigo has always lived here. Leech Lake is 50% water, lakes, streams, swamps, and the Mississippi River. We have 44 wild rice producing beds on our reservation, and more wild rice naturally grows here than anywhere else in the United States. In our legends, it says that someday there might come a time of great hardship when food won't be readily available to us. Consequently, we store 100,000 pounds of finished wild rice and can feed our people for 10 to 15 years with it. During the self-determination era, which began in the 1960s, our reservation challenged the U.S. government. And in September 1985, the United States, in an out-of-court settlement, agreed to pay the Leech Lake Band $3,390,288. The agreement concerned the flooding of 178,000 acres of land and damages to villages, gardens, and cemeteries. We also now have the right to decide what levels of water that the lake should be at, because wild rice grows best in 2 to 3 feet of water. This is an example of the Leech Lake Ojibwe becoming equal partners about decisions concerning our homeland. It was a result of government-to-government relationships. Because all land within a reservation's border is considered Indian country, and even though we only have 5% of our land remaining as trust land, we retain and actively control civil regulatory jurisdiction over the reservation and its resources. We have our own law enforcement officials and court system, our own lawyers and judges. So, in the migration story, it said that we dropped many things along our journey. These things included our language and culture. My father, Nibaba Iban Simon Howard, was 5 years old when he was sent to boarding school in 1918. At that time, the people were poor and his grandma was taking care of him. She simply could not feed him, so she sent him away to school so he would be fed. Unfortunately, though, the older boys bullied the younger boys and took away their food and any gifts received from home. My dad talked about being hungry and how the little boys were losing weight. The school eventually had the older girls sit with the little guys so that they could eat. Internalized oppression is another example of historical loss symptoms and another story told. Yet Dad grew up and graduated from Flandreau Boarding School. He returned home and was elected to sit on the Reservation Business Committee. He and many others who experienced the assimilation era of 1870 to 1934 and the Great Depression from 1929 to 1931 worst felt on the reservations. The Indian Reorganization era of 1934 to 1953 and World War II and the Termination era 1953 to 1968. Where the federal relationship with 109 reservations was cut, helped to slay the Wendigo. These leaders, these past people, our grandmothers and grandfathers, our relatives who came before us, they experienced all those horrific things, yet they survived, and they were the ones who brought about this new era. And we can be thankful to them. And I'll continue this in the next show, but I want to say miigwech for this day, for this life, this body, my family, my old dog named Dude. And I say miigwech bisandawiyek. Miigwech, miigwech.